Hey, it's Bill Simmons. We're not just reacting to the NBA playoffs on my podcast. We're also doing it on the Ringer NBA show and the Mismatch podcast. They are coming after some of these NBA playoff games. Check it out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights on the Ringer Podcast Network.
Let's roll, baby. Happy Thursday, one and all. It is Ringer Gambling a day early because I got to be a pain in the ass. I got a wedding coming up this weekend, and it's conference finals time. It's PGA Championship time, and the show must go on. So, Joe House, before we destroy our performance over the last couple of days, I got to commend you for being a team player and being accommodating enough to work yourself into a Thursday. So, my man, you're the MVP today.
Whoa. All I did was cancel my lunch date with my wife and cancel, you know, three work plans and cancel my round of golf. But, JJ, really anything for you.
That's right. That's right. And you'll be thinking of me tomorrow when maybe you're teeing off at like 11:30 Eastern time, when normally you wouldn't be teeing off on a Friday at 11:30 Eastern time. You'll be like, all right, thank you, JJ. I appreciate you, buddy.
Always a silver lining.
Bud, what the hell happened to us in these first two games of the conference finals? Now, more so from a Dallas perspective than a Miami-Boston perspective. Because full disclosure, we did the pod on Tuesday morning. No knowledge of Marcus Smart. No knowledge of Al Horford. I almost wanted to basically say, you know, control alt delete, let's go redo this bad boy. I never, not to make excuses, in a million years would have advocated such a strong play for the Celtics in game one. No shot.
Right. No, I I'm with you, and you can't forecast that. And, you know, we're kind of in the same position with tonight's Celtics game. Smart is listed as probable, and I think he's going to play, but it's a game time decision. And Horford is listed as doubtful. And we don't know exactly where in the protocols. The Celtics haven't been exactly, you know, perfectly revealing about what the nature of his illness is, but he's in protocols. He can be out of them because of the testing. They've gotten a little lighter on the testing lately, but we're kind of in the same boat. And I just think you got to proceed cautiously if you don't have absolute certainty that both of those guys are going to be playing. They're too important, both of them, to me.
No doubt. And gut feel, you're probably going to see Marcus Smart. You're probably not going to see Al Horford. But the story of game one, and let's be honest, House, it has been the story of the Miami wins in a majority of these playoff games. Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Buckets, playing out of his freaking mind. Listen to these numbers over his last five playoff games. He's basically averaging 34 points per game, 8-5, and he's shooting 87% from the line and 56% from the floor. Butler, who is a guy that people don't give enough respect to, I think he's out to show, hey, guess what? That 2020 bubble where I was Jimmy Buckets and I took a team to the NBA Finals, not a fluke, because I'm on my way maybe of going and doing it again.
It is very funny. There is a whole nobody believes in us kind of vibe, and nobody is better with a chip on his shoulder than Jimmy Butler. And, you know, part of the thing is like we at different moments in these playoffs, different offensive performances have captured our imagination. You know, the Jason Tatum top five player in the NBA talk. Now, maybe that's just a function of ringer.com and some of the Celtics fans amongst the Illuminati here. Yeah, well, I mean, all of them, really. The Freak had a couple big games. And meanwhile, everybody's all over Luka properly, right? Luka delivered an unexpected result by beating Phoenix and looking relatively unstoppable along the way. Quietly, Jimmy Butler's just dropping these mega games when they're called for, and the Heat really have not broken a sweat in these entire playoffs.
It's crazy. And these player prop totals for Butler, they can't make these totals high enough, House. Like, I'm looking tonight, 26.5. Doesn't that seem way too low with the way this dude has been playing? I know it's crazy because we're talking about 26.5 points. That total seems too low to me, dude.
Well, the problem is Marcus Smart playing? Because it's not just the function of like, okay, Marcus Smart, defensive player of the year. Smart's not going to play him heads up the entire game. It's the ability for Boston. It immensely, exponentially increases their flexibility defensively. He can switch. He knows how to roll. He's super intelligent on the defensive end. And it just creates a level of comfort for Boston defensively that they didn't have. Now, notwithstanding what we watched in that first half, like you sent the text saying redemption pod, and we need to do better today. And I was kind of thinking to myself, well, you know what? We didn't really get much of this wrong in terms of what we anticipated out of these first two games. We didn't say that Miami was going to lose. You like the Celtics, JJ, because you articulated a good, strong case that we saw play out in the first half, which is they were just in a tough playoff series. They're not rusty. They're coming in. They're feeling confident. And they showed us in that first half, you know, they were first to the 50-50 balls. It took Miami a whole half to kind of snap themselves out.
Third quarter really shifted the entire feel and complexion of the game.
That's
no
right.
Doubt.
They won the third quarter 39-14, but they needed a half to rev it up. So, you know, the first half went the way that you kind of anticipated. I do regret the Boston had really incredible shooting in the first half, and that's what killed the under.
We knew about two quarters into the game that the under was cooked.
Yeah, yeah.
I totally know.
Halfway into the second quarter, I think I sent you a note like, oh, we're dead on the under. But if Smart plays, I kind of like the under tonight.
So you might go back to the well. Okay, yeah. So the game spread and the total. Line opened at 5 for Miami. It's now down to 3.5. And you got split action right now where a lot of the tickets coming in on the Celtics seems like a lot of the money, and I would guess a lot of the money line bets coming in on the Miami Heat. Total in this game has gone from 206 to 207. House, I like the Celtics in game one. I do not like them in game two. I do not like the Celtics here in game two. I have too many questions about what you're going to get out of Smart coming back. Horford not going to be out there and his impact not being felt here in this particular game. And you throw in Butler's been a machine. Tatum, not great against the Heat. Now, Tatum's been a lot better in these game twos. The numbers in Jason Tatum game two performances look in the Nets series, look especially in the series against Milwaukee. He played great, but I'm in on the Heat tonight. I think the Heat are going up to Boston with a 2-0 lead, and I think the Celtics will counter. I think they'll probably hold serve at home. But tonight, House, I'm in on the Heat.
So I agree with your calculus here, and I'm also on the Heat. We should mention the Heat haven't lost a playoff game at home.
At home. That is correct.
And we should also mention the Heat haven't lost a playoff game in which Kyle Lowry has been out. So Kyle Lowry already announced out. They haven't lost any of the games with him being out. And a big part of it, and we did hit on this correctly on Tuesday, we forecasted this, is the others as the dudes.
Well, it's Strus and Vincent and Hero
all
went out and hit shots.
They did.
If Smart, for some reason, doesn't play, you know, House, they're going after Peyton Pritchard. We saw it in game one. They are going to look to hunt Peyton Pritchard any chance they get.
For sure. And they know about that advantage, and they're very well coached. That's the reminder with Miami coming out of that halftime, dropping 39 points in the third quarter. Now, Boston hitting a little bit of that fatigue after the initial burst of adrenaline in the first half, also part of it, but also really the discomfort of Tatum and Jaylen Brown with the ball in their hands as the initiators of the offense. That's the harm to Boston. All those turnovers that those guys committed, that Smart has the ball in his hands, and Horford is the key cog in the offense. The ball moves properly side to side through him. He always makes the right play at the top of the key or at the free throw line when the ball is moving around. Those guys not as comfortable with that, and it's just the thinnest of margins that really, you know, swings these things, swings the direction of the game and produce the run that Miami went on, but I'm with you. I think it's Miami money line. I don't want to lay the points.
All right, I'm in on that. Okay, so you have a strong feel on the under. I have a strong feel that the Heat are going to win this game. I think we put the two of them together right here and right now.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it. I mean, everybody understands it's buyer beware on the under, on the total. And it's because, you know, it's an under for me with Smart playing. And if he doesn't play, then you know, you might lose your money. So apologies in advance. But I think Smart's playing, and that's why I like the under.
As far as a player prop, we won't go near Butler because if Smart plays, they may just throw him and every other body at him and try to take him out of his element. What do we think about Strus at over 12 and a half?
I like it. You know, this thing of the confidence of home, of being buoyed by him having a very sort of clear sense and Boston's inability to sort of take that away from Miami. Now, I have full confidence Boston's pretty well coached also. They're going to come out with some schemes tonight that throw some different looks that don't permit the same level of comfort, but they just don't have the bodies without Horford and Smart to catch everybody on that perimeter. And if they're going to shut down Hero and they're going to be aggressive towards Gabe Vincent, and I think they are because Gabe Vincent.
I do too after game one for sure.
He's a game changer. That's Strus catching 13. I like it.
Here's what we're going to do. Three teams, same game parlay for the Eastern Conference Finals. Heat money line, under 206.5. Max Strus alternate over 9.5 points.
Oh, okay. What's that
pays
get us?
3-1.
See, this is what we look for on the family parlay, JJ.
Well, I wanted to find a way to jack it up and juice it up a little bit. This gives us the opportunity to do so. So you want to get in on Strus over 9.5 points, under 206.5, and a Heat to win. You're getting that 3-1. I like the Heat tonight. House likes the Heat tonight. I still would play it -3.5, but hey, this is a more creative way for us not to have to lay the juice. Hope Jimmy Butler prevails in a tight game. What we should have done, House, is we should have maybe brought down the Butler alternate point, but why even mess with that? We got our winner. Let's leave it. Let's move on to the Western Conference Finals. That's my thought.
I love it. We've done all we could do here.
Why reinvent the wheel? Hey, we got our three we like. Yeah. Spitfire at it before we get into trouble, before we get a little too kooky. What the hell happened to Dallas last night? I mean, what the hell happened to Dallas last night? You know, they're stabilizing things. They're within that like 6-9 point margin. Boom, right out of the gate in the third quarter, you knew the game was cooked. Like and we talked about this the other day. When the Warriors go on one of those runs and it's like the avalanche, that is just very, very tough to counter. And I think Dallas got a very rude taste of that and a very rude awakening of that, of what they may anticipate and see throughout the duration of this series.
So there will be some variance in Golden State's ability to bring the avalanche.
Yes.
You know, because not every game do they have that comfort. Another great Clay game. You know, Clay's comfort continues to increase. But to me, the most impressive thing and the thing that really made the game never really feel in doubt was their defensive approach, their defensive scheme. The number of times that somebody was up making contact with Luka as soon as he crossed half court, they would not let Dallas get themselves settled into a rhythm and routine offensively. They were very creative in how they switched. They were physical. They showed max effort on defense. It was reflective of a game plan where it suggested to me that they might have invested. It'd be very funny, maybe fascinating to talk to somebody from the Golden State coaching staff to hear their perspective as they watched that Dallas Phoenix game 7, who they thought was going to win and who they were preparing for, because they were absolutely adequately prepared for the Dallas Mavericks. They took all of the other guys out of the game. Brunson, they kind of let have a little bit of a game. But
even Brunson, he was 0-5 from 3. And yeah. Dallas has no chance of winning this series if they're going to go 0-5 from 3 with Brunson. Bullock's going to go 3-10, and he's shooting a ton because they're down a boatload of points in this game. Luka's 3-10. All right, Dinwiddie did a decent job. He was 3-7. But, like, if 3 out of those 4 guys are going to shoot it like crap from 3, forget about it.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm kind of prepared to take the lesson learned and maybe draw a little bit of information from the previous series where Dallas looked like they could not stay in the gym with Phoenix through the first 2 games. Phoenix ran them out, and then Dallas made some adjustments between game two and game three that started to feed into some vulnerabilities of Phoenix. If Dallas has any chance at all in this series, I think it comes in that same time period, which is why I'm prepared to go ahead and lay the points.
Wow, I totally agree. I'm right there with you. There's no way in the world I'm taking Dallas after what I saw the other night.
No,
now, can Dallas have a moment or two in this series? Sure, you could sell me on that. I don't think that's outrageous. But if we're going to get close to the Golden State effort that we saw in game two, if we're going to get 75 to 80% of that effort, I still think we're talking about a double-digit win. And you hit on something. The last series against Phoenix, it took Dallas two full games to really get going. And look, I think Golden State could be picked off and beat. I wouldn't even be stunned if they lost the two games in Dallas. They'll the way I end up seeing this series, the more and more I think about it, House, I think this series is going five games. I think the Eastern Conference Finals is going to be a bloodbath. I think Golden State's going to roll in game two. I think they're going to get one of the next two, and they'll wrap this bad boy up in five. That's my gut feel right now.
If everybody's healthy for Golden State, it's hard to come up with the script. What answer does Dallas have to the potent offense, the unmatched potent offense? I think we talked ourselves into Phoenix having the kind of potency, that kind of ability to like just start running off buckets and not being stopped. And they did have that all the way up until the point that I guess Chris Paul suffered his mysterious injuries that we still haven't gotten to the bottom of, which was at the beginning of game three, or maybe it was game two that he was injured. But we saw a radically different Phoenix Suns from game three onward in that semifinal. If Golden State's healthy, and the growing confidence, especially of Klay, and Wiggins had a nice start to the game, right? And you know, Poole continues at his superb level. They just have too much firepower, and I don't think that the defensive game plan that Dallas used so successfully against Phoenix, like they, you know, the blitzing of Booker and, you know, taking Ayton away. Now, Phoenix was kind of an accomplice to that, the way I looked at it. They can't bring that same scheme. They are very creative. I absolutely admire the coaching staff there, but I tend to like just believe in Golden State because we have lots of evidence that suggests we should believe in Golden State.
How are we playing this game? I'm more than fine just laying 6.5.
Let's do it.
We want to get creative, and we will, I'm in on 6.5. I think the Warriors win comfortably. Is there a way for us to handicap this game, though, from an SGP perspective? I, for one, don't really have a strong lean on the total at 214.
I played the over last night and lost, and I was disappointed because it looked like it was very easily going to hit. But Dallas just turtled in the fourth quarter.
Yes, they did. Major turtle.
And then that took the over right off the table. So I'm going to stay away from the total as well. It wouldn't shock me at all if they blow it right by it. But, you know, Dallas wants to try and control pace of play. Golden State was having none of it. Like, they were flying up the court. They were dictating pace. And I don't know what Dallas does to slow them down. So how are we going to be creative? Because we're not going to touch the total.
No, I'm looking at some of the alternate points and, you know, double-double type stuff. Do we want to get in on Luka to get a double-double?
I'm fine with that.
All right, so here's what I got right now. See, this, I don't like this already. I don't like this already. Well, they're not letting me combine this Curry thing. So, see, I was trying to go Warriors to win and then Luka to get a double-double. FanDuel's not letting me do that. They're not letting me do that. So sometimes they want to mess around with you a little bit and they want, all right, so here we go. We're going to take the Warriors to win. What do we think the assist total is for Luka?
10.
7.5.
Their recipe, they need those Brunson buckets, right? Like all of those misses, when you ran through the Bullock misses, the Brunson misses, those are all coming from Luka initiated passes, right? So how many assists did Luka have in game one last night?
So Luka in his box score, here we go, I'm pulling it up right now. In game one, Doncic, 4 assists.
So that's why. That makes sense. And that's
because
why the number 7.5.
Because his teammates couldn't hit shots. Let's say that they're going to hit a couple more threes in this game.
Yeah.
How about this for an SGP? We think Brunson's going to bounce back and play much better. I do.
I do too.
Okay. So Brunson's point total is at 18.5. I like the over there.
That's a hard one. Well, I bet on his point total before. I've been a Brunson believer, and I've also been a Brunson bounce back believer. I think I played his point total in the first round series a couple different times, and he didn't hit it. He was just a little bit of a cold spell. I don't want to. 18.5 is too rich for my blood.
Fair enough. So here's what we will do. Let's get him down to 15 plus points. Do you like that better?
I can live with 15.
All right, so we're going to take that as an old. We're really going to get nuts here with this Golden State. We're going to take Brunson to score 15 plus. Here's another one. Player made threes. Bullock, 2.5. You don't want in? Come on, let's go.
I'd like it better if it was 1.5.
See, they're not giving us 1.5, which is problematic. They're giving us Jordan Poole at 1.5.
The only thing that makes me nervous about that is you can't predict if Clay gets rolling, the pool doesn't get his touches. He doesn't get the same kind of touches. You know what I mean?
No, it can't. And that was it. I ended up playing the FanDuel boost, which was the Curry 3, the Luka 3, and the Clay 3. You needed 3 from each. Clay didn't want to cooperate. Everybody else did their part. Clay was great, but he didn't want to cooperate and hit that third 3. That's also the end result of having a game that's decided midway through the third quarter. Well, you knew, right? You're not getting any bang for your buck in the fourth quarter.
100% right.
All right. So we don't want to do that, but you're in on Brunson.
We can't do the Luka.
How about Luka six plus assists? How about that?
Yes. Luka 6+ assists.
Well, here's the problem now. Oh. So Warrior money line, Brunson 15+ points, Luka 6+ assists. We're only getting 133. That's not good enough.
Which means we need
to find another leg of this parlay to juice it up that much more.
Is there a pool point total?
You want to get Poole at 15+ points or 10+ points? 10, I mean, we're going to get no odds.
Well, but that adds a fourth leg, and that might get us closer to that, you know, north of 2.5 to 1 that we like.
No, we're still at 150 and Poole. That does us no good here.
All right.
That does us
no
good.
We don't want to mess with it. Then take Poole.
What about Draymond assists?
Okay, let's hear it. What are the numbers?
6-200. So if we threw that in, that gets us to plus 250.
That's our neighborhood. That's a four-legger. It would be a Friday four-legger, except for we're Thursday. We have Thanksgiving Thursday with this.
It is. It's an early start for the House JJ duo.
Hopefully it's not a turkey. Hopefully it's not a Thursday turkey.
All right, so here's the four-legger. Warriors to win. Brunson with 15+ points. Bounce back game for him. Luka 6 assists. Manageable. Draymond, 6 assists. Just got to stay out of foul trouble.
Yep. 6 assists. I'm writing it down. Which part, what's going to make us lose this?
Brunson.
I know. It's true. Brunson's
But I think he's going to bounce back and have a good game.
Me too.
But like, if I had to say right now, what do I feel the least confident in? It's probably Brunson. And I don't want to take him at 10+ points because our odds will suck.
No.
And I'm not going to go to 20. I brought it down a little bit to 15.
I ask because I want the listeners to hear where the vulnerability resides. We are in agreement that Brunson is the weak leg of this four leg.
And I think Luke is getting 6+ assists in this game.
So do I.
He had 4 and they couldn't hit a shot to save their life. And he's going to look to get his guys involved.
That's right. So, I like this. I really like this four legger. We know everybody's heard where the risk resides. And plus, you know, 2.5. Plus 250.
It's not the juiciest parlay we've given you guys, but listen, we need to get back to winning ways here. So we're not trying to give you a 600, 700, 800. We're trying to take some small bites out. And listen, if we hit both of these, we're going to cash it a little over 5-1. So that's the idea.
Good weekend. It'll be a good weekend for everybody.
So we're in on both favorites.
In on both favorites. I don't see any reason to move off of it. The injury uncertainty with Boston has us off Boston, and we just don't think Dallas is going to have enough to correct between these two games to put themselves in a position to actually like win outright. So we're fine with it.
And in case you want to get involved with both of the favorites, take one on the money line and take one on the spread. A Heat minus 162, Golden State minus 6.5 parlay pays plus 210.
Pretty good.
I don't hate that either.
There's a golf tournament going on right now.
Yeah,
buddy.
There is a golf tournament going on right now. And you know that I am in on Jordan Spieth. I am in on Cam Smith. And I'm kind of in on Scottie Scheffler. I don't like to say I'm in on the guy who is like the odds-on favorite. That's no fun. Like, that sounds like so lame. How about our boy Daly at 2-under?
That's fantastic. That would be, nothing would be better than for him to make the cut and you know, be around for the weekend so that everybody can see him in all his glory.
So we're taping this right now. It's a little before noon. Rory is 4-under through 8. Were you in on Rory going in?
I have him on a couple of tickets. I didn't go heavy on him, but, you know, he certainly fits that stereotype where you're looking for, you know, if you believed that thing that we talked about where there's the linkage with Augusta National and the ability to have decent short game there translates into success here. I will tell you right now, you might have to live bet Rory, hold your nose, whatever the price is. The single biggest thing that has held back Rory McIlroy from winning his second, you know, his fifth major, and he hasn't won a major since 2014, is his Thursday round.
Oh, he gets off to terrible starts.
Terrible starts.
And he always seems to have these big Saturday, Sunday performances when he's like 10 off the lead. Happens all the time.
That's exactly right. So if he comes out and he's, you know, firing and he's comfortable, you just have to pay the price.
Right now he's at plus 430. Yeah. I can't do it, bro. I can't do it. There's no value. I feel like I missed the boat.
There's literally no value right now except for that. Like, it's going to get even worse. It's going to be minus odds if he's like in the first couple spots and going into Saturday. You're going to have to like pay minus 130 or something to get him. So it's still better than 4-to-1 odds. I don't know. It depends. I mean, he's only halfway through his round, right?
He is on the 8th hole right now as we speak.
Yeah, and he's 4-under. So if he goes, he still has another, you know, the front nine is what he's going to play next. If he ends up at 6-under or 7-under, that plus 430 is going to be all the way down to plus 200.
Yeah, unless you get somebody who goes off in the afternoon.
Well, it's got to be somebody prominent, right? It can't be, you know, a guy that everybody understands is not going to be around on Sunday on the leaderboard.
You need a big name. You need a Justin Thomas. You need a Cantlay. You need Scheffler, a Morikawa, Rahm, one of those guys.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, Spieth right now, I need him to pick it up. He's 1 over par right now, which is sloppy. We need him.
He's got time.
He does have a little bit of time. Great job, pal. Enjoy the Friday. Think of me when you're not doing a podcast because of the festivities that I'm going to enjoy on my buddy Alex's behalf. So
I'm glad.
Thankfully, the only silver lining, House, this wedding is not Memorial Day weekend, or I'd be cursing him out because of the traffic I'd be sitting in on the Garden State Parkway.
Understandable. It's all about the silver linings, JJ. Enjoy yourself. Have a weekend, buddy.
Good work by Carlos. We're back on Tuesday next week. Sorry for the change in schedule, but sometimes you got to audible Peyton Manning style at the line of scrimmage. House out, JJ out. Enjoy it. Be good, everybody.
Omaha.
Red 7.